Hello and welcome to Real Talk. I'm your host, Susan McCabe, here with you every Tuesday on KVSH 101.9 FM and at your convenience on voiceofvashon.org. Today, I am privileged to have with me Stephen Silla, who is a producer and co-director of the documentary The Big Joy about the life and philosophy and poetry of James Broughton, and Jason Jin, an LA-based performance artist who is here to join Stephen and company this weekend on Vashon Island for a celebration of James Broughton's life. Welcome to both of you. Welcome, Stephen.
Thank you so much.
Welcome, Jason.
Thank you so much for having us.
Oh, thank you so much for being here. I'm really excited to find out what the big joy is. What's the big joy? What's it all about?
Well, you know, I met James Broughton. He's a pre-beat poet and experimental filmmaker who lived from 1913 to 1999. And I only knew him for the last 10 years of his life because I met him at a men's gathering in Oregon in 1989 when he and his husband, Joel Singer, had just moved to Port Townsend, Washington. And I took a look at him, 75 years old, and I said, oh my gosh, I've never seen a 75-year-old who's so lively, bubbly, and surrounded by beautiful young men. So I thought, I'd like to get to know this guy. And as it turned out, he invited me for dinner, and he became a mentor of mine. We became friends, spent a lot of time with each other during those last 10 years of his life. And after he died, I thought I would write a book about him, but I was convinced by Mark Thompson, who was a mutual friend of Jason's and mine, that it had to be a movie because Broughton made 23 experimental films. Ooh. And he wrote 23 books of poetry. So consequently,
it's a great start.
The Big Joy Project was born in 2008, and the film came out in 2013. So it took 5 years.
Why did it take 5 years?
Making a documentary film, especially if you've not done it before, is not easy. And fortunately, I was able to assemble a really great creative team, mostly from the West Coast, one from Mexico, who helped manifest this. But many, many people from Vashon helped financially, spiritually. Amy Cartier was my associate producer and my comrade in arms in this whole project, which we always looked at it as a multimedia project, not just a film. And that's why I'm so happy that Jason is here to do the little more. As James used to say, we need a little more multi in our media.
Multi-intermedia. You did mention that Broughton was known for creating his own language. That's very descriptive. I like that. Jason, what is it you will be doing this weekend for the Big Joy Weekend?
So I've memorized 30 of James's poems, and I will be presenting them in a performance art manner. So there's a lot of theatricality to them. So bringing them to life on stage. I feel like this show is a collaboration with James. I feel that by absorbing in his films and really diving into his work to kind of embody his spirit on stage. I'm not trying to be James, but I'm how James has affected me as a performer, and to bring that joy, to bring that ecstasy for everyone, which is the title of the show, which comes from his quote, "I believe in ecstasy for everyone." So it's a very joyous show, but his works are so profound. I like to say I'm sharing the frisky gospel of James Broughton. It comes from one of his poems where he talks about frisky
gospel. I love
that,
the frisky gospel. And I'm going to ask you, Jason, and each of you to recite some of Broughton's poetry. But how would you describe when this man is so unique to you? What was it about him that was so unique? What creates the big joy?
It was the sparkle in his eye. It was the kind of ability to take everything both seriously and not seriously. And if I could maybe do one of his poems that kind of speaks to me that way, it's called What Matters.
Please.
What matters, matters, but it doesn't. Some of the time, everything matters. Much of the time, nothing matters. In the long run, both everything and nothing matter a lot. So that kind of embraces, when I was doing work with journalists on my Journalism That Matters project, some of the editors actually took that poem and put it on their wall because they thought, what does matter and how do we decide? So James was about that. He was about how do you live your life in a way that's spiritually integral. And he was also very sexually liberated. He called himself pansexual. He was with a man in the 50s. He married a woman in the 60s and 70s. And he met the love of his life at age 62, a man who happened to be 35 years younger than he. But they lived together for 25 years. So I wanted to make the film for a number of reasons, but one was to show that you can find true love at any age.
Yeah, that gives us all hope. And when you describe that life and his pansexuality, I know that this country is so focused on sexuality in such dichotomous ways. And I think that cultural dichotomy is abusive to a whole lot of people. And I'm wondering how the material that James Broughton that you're bringing to us might address that.
One of his books was called The Androgyne Journal, and it was about the male and female inside of him and how he struggled with that and how he celebrated that. And one of his longer films, actually, Dreamwood, is all about that. So he was way ahead of his time in terms of gender, the idea of being gender non-binary. Mm-hmm. So although, you know, his work is dated in some ways. I mean, he made his movies between 1946 and 1988. So to us now, and they were mostly shot in 16 millimeter, they look kind of dated.
So the production values are going to be a little different from what we're accustomed to.
But his ideas and the way he presented himself, he really was a poetic filmmaker. He took a poetic approach to the visual as well as the words. And some of his films, like The Bed, his most famous film, has no words at all. It's just a series of tableaus of what can happen on a bed.
Wow.
And Jason's
and he was very much ahead of his time in terms of the visuals. You see, watching the films, you see a lot of images that are familiar, but they were, you know, like borrowed, or that they were in the collective, you know, subconscious, that they emerged later, you know, but he was so ahead. He was a visionary.
If you remember the show The Monkees, they had a scene where they stole a thing from James Broughton, and they're in a bed together at the beginning of their show.
Oh.
And Gus Van Sant, the filmmaker from Portland, says, "I learned and stole a lot from James Broughton."
I'm wondering if there are other filmmakers
Absolutely.
Actually, George Lucas was quoted in an interview as having said, "After I got out of college, I wanted to come to San Francisco and make poetic films like James Broughton, but I ended up taking another route."
He certainly did. So, Jason,
yes.
I'm wondering if you would perform one of those poems for us, if you would read one of those
Absolutely.
Poems.
Absolutely. This is a very profound one called Shaman Psalm. "Listen, brothers, listen. The alarms are on fire. The oracles are strangled. Hear the pious vultures condemning your existence. Hear the greedy warheads calling for your death. Quick, while there's time, take heed, take heart. Claim your innocence, proclaim your fellowship, reach to each other, connect one another, and hold." And that's just the beginning of the poem, which goes on. It's so epic, and it's a pleasure to breathe. Like, I have been reciting these poems over and over, and my body gets so charged up from reciting them. It's like casting a spell, James does with his poetry.
And if you were teaching a class in poetry, what would you say that particular poem was saying?
Oh, I mean, it speaks to us what's going on right now today of, like, pay attention, wait, it's, you know, get woke, wake up, and realize that we need to, you know, the last bit of the poem goes like, "Man must love man or war is forever. Outnumber the hawks, outdistance the angels, love one another or die."
Boy, that is relevant today, yeah. Specifically,
yeah.
I'll say. Stephen, you created this film in 2000?
It came out in 2013, and it premiered at South by Southwest in Austin. It then went to Tribeca and 50 other film festivals. The international premiere was in Hong Kong.
That's incredible. And where have people been able to see it since then?
It was on Netflix for 5 years. And after the five-year contract was over, there weren't enough people who watched it. So it's no longer available on Netflix, but it's still available on many of the online platforms, Hulu, Amazon, iTunes, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and folks will be able to see it this weekend.
Well, seeing it on the big screen is really a treat. I have to say, I've seen the film hundreds of times, and I still get something out of it. I really do. It's deep and dense.
Visually so well done and beautiful. I love all the animations that you've created and the, you know.
Yeah, we have all these different elements. So I wanted the film to be more poetic, and my co-director, Eric Slade, who works for Oregon Public Broadcasting in Portland, thought that the poetic approach, while it was right for Broughton, it's not necessarily right to tell his story. So he convinced me that rather than using Broughton's poetry as the spine of the film, we should use his journals. And the journals are animated, as Jason said. We used this amazing animator, Michael Mann from Vancouver, who animated not only the journals, but a number of the poems.
Yeah, and each time I've seen it over a dozen times, there's something new that comes forward. And the music
created is by Jamie Sieber, who just moved back to Vashon, having been away for decades.
She's a cellist.
She's
correct?
A cellist, yes.
Cellist.
And she co-wrote the music, the score for the film, with Evan Schiller, a West Seattle musician. And they just did an amazing job. And there's a soundtrack.
Ah, so will that be available?
On CD, yeah. And that will be available at the event.
And the film will be screened on
2 p.m. on Saturday, the 11th.
And it's at the Vashon Center for the Arts.
At the Vashon Center for the Arts. It's a cabaret screening, which means that we'll have some performance before the film, including maybe a sneak preview of Jason.
Absolutely.
Real quickly, I don't want this to be a total promotion of the weekend, but where can we get tickets?
Tickets are available at VashonCenterForTheArts.org and at the door.
Okay.
Come, bring your friends. It's, you know, we all need a little break in these January doldrums.
Yeah. Not to mention the political doldrums.
Yeah, and people will get so much out of it, you know, to charge them with joy.
Is this suitable for children?
I would say no.
No, so this is an adult weekend.
Yes.
Yeah,
mature audience.
Teenagers have enjoyed the documentary a lot, but it's definitely for mature audiences.
But it is for the children in all of us, because he had, I mean, there is such a pleasure. I mean, a lot of his poems, too, were taking off of nursery rhymes, and he was great friends with Alan Watts, so there's a lot of philosophy in there, but playful philosophy, like the What Matters poem that you heard.
Is that how he lived his life? Did he live his life playfully?
He did. He said it's more important to live poetically than to be a good poet. And he did live his life wonderfully, playfully. Not to say that...
The poetry is amazing, so his life must have been even more so.
Not to say that he didn't have his down days and he didn't have his, you know, bad moments.
He doesn't shy away from that in his poetry.
No, he writes about when everything is wrong. There's a whole poem called The Wrong Song.
Yeah. It's a journey.
Mm-hmm.
He was gay, or he was pansexual. It seems to me that a lot of the material is speaking to an LGBTQ community. I want to ask the two of you how his influence has affected your lives personally, particularly over this time period when the whole notion of gender has been kind of turned upside down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting how prophetic he was in some ways. One of his concepts is about the God body, the concept that our bodies are temples and that we should worship our own and each other's bodies. And I think that concept has really been important to me in kind of understanding my own as my body gets older, and just to kind of navigate life with a little bit more humor. For example, when he had a stroke, he signed in at the hospital in Puyallup as Mr. Jerry Attrick. so I don't know, just to be able to look at what he decided to finally to put on his tombstone was adventure, not predicament. And that concept has been so useful to me in the years that since I first heard it. What would you say?
Yeah, Jason? There are constant lessons for living a life and how to live through his not only in his life, in his films, but in his poetry, everything. He was so inspirational. I had several mentors that either knew him personally or were very profoundly affected by his poems. And before I even knew who James Roughton was, I had heard some of his poems and caught on, like, wow, who is this? And it was only through watching the documentary then I was fully aware of how great he was.
He's like the most important poet that you've never heard of.
Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking.
And he's continuing the lineage of Walt Whitman. I mean, he's sort of embodying everything that Walt Whitman, who was, the first great American poet, but more liberated, for contemporary times.
And there are a lot of reasons he's not better known. One is that he didn't put his work in any one pigeonhole. So his books of poetry are different from one another. His films are different from one another. He didn't have a promo guy like Allen Ginsberg, who was the one who made the Beats famous.
Yeah,
The Beat movement wouldn't have been famous without an Allen Ginsberg. And James, in fact, was in Europe when the Allen Ginsberg read Howl at City Lights Books in San Francisco in 1955. And he didn't get back until after that. So he was a little out of it. He was looked at by the Beats as a senior kind of, oh yeah, he was doing this in the 40s. We're doing it now. Lawrence Ferlinghetti says in my film, I was just an interloper. James and his friends were doing this in the 40s. So, yeah.
Influential. Absolutely influential.
As an artist and living an artist's life. So for those folks who may not consider themselves practicing artists, what would you hope they would take away from seeing this film and experiencing Broughton's philosophy and poetry?
I would hope it would be a nudge for their own creative soul, for their own creative spark, that they would come out of the film saying, I'm going to write that poem that I've always wanted to write, or I'm going to make that movie that I have wished I could do for years. That it might just ignite something.
What could it do for a person's daily life? Like, I'm walking down the street. I'm going to the grocery store. I'm raising my children. How can James Broughton help me do that?
Around every corner, there is adventure to be had. Adventure, not predicament, and follow your own weird. One of my favorite lines from his poem and why I've created ecstasy for everyone is, now that I'm converted to your impudent faith, I long to beguile the world with the seductions of your frisky gospel until everyone believes in the holiness of sex and all congregations surrender totally to the arms of their own delight.
I think that our listeners would like to hear more Broughton poetry. What else have you brought?
Well, one of my favorites is one that James himself repeated on the day that he died, and that women I know have taken to the birth room with them. It's called "This Is It," number two. This is it. This is really it. This is all there is, and it's perfect as it is. There's nowhere to go but here. There's nothing here but now. There's nothing now but this. And this is it. This is really it. This is all there is, and it's perfect as it is.
There's not a whole lot more to say. However, I'm wondering what kind of feedback you've gotten, either from the film or from these performances, from the outside world.
Well, James's work can be challenging as well as joyful. He could push your buttons in some ways. And so some people have been grossed out, for example, when a lizard comes out of a guy's mouth in the film The Bed. Some people were understandably upset when we interviewed his ex-wife whose life was more or less ruined by their breakup.
Oh.
And she's very honest about that. We also interviewed one of his three children, his son Orion, who comes off as a not fully realized human being, I guess.
Well, you know, it's they're sort of in the shadow of the emergence that James had in his later years of embracing his true self. He comes out of a period where there was a lot of oppression. In many ways, he was coerced into getting married because he had to, you know, you had to marry someone in order to be whole.
He was a Jungian, so he was really into, I need my opposite to be fully human. Mm. Fill out my mandala was the way he put it.
Yeah. And yet there's the journey that he's been on. I mean, there was so much struggle and dealing with that repression. It comes across in many of his films, including the one that he won the award at the Cannes Film Festival called Pleasure Garden. It's all about this sort of repression and this, release from all of that and embracing the pleasure of the body and of love and not to be so uptight. You know, he's here to liquidate your airtight scruples, puncture your prejudice, and fumigate your dogma.
Those are great lines. I love the use of language.
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
He loved language. Mm-hmm. There were several words that he kind of invented. One of his favorite ones was exuberate, making exuberant into a verb. And another one was vivify. His advice to all of us was simplify, clarify, vivify. So when I'm going to the Thriftway, that's a good mantra for me. Simplify, clarify, vivify.
And make a list.
Yeah, that's a good idea too.
Yeah, I always make the list and leave it at home. Where does it go from here after this weekend?
I don't know. This is an experiment. This is the first time we've ever done a Big Joy weekend. And it's kind of been a dream of mine in the back of my head for years. And I must say, the Vashon Center for the Arts has really stepped forward to do lots of local queer programming in connection with the In-N-Out exhibit. They had Tom Pruksma and David Milkey's gorgeous Gay Beret.
Which was fabulous.
In November. And this one, and they may be doing some more queer programming over the next year. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. It's really important, I think, that we show the VCA our thanks by showing up and being present mm-hmm. for the Big Joy mm-hmm. and seeing how it might lubricate our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't really know what's next. It would be lovely if we could do this in other places.
But I'm sure that requires funding.
It would require funding. Yeah. It would require more of a team, which I really had making the film. But this project has been more, you know.
You.
Yes.
Well, I know, Stephen, that this whole James Broughton thing has mm-hmm. been a major part of your life for years, at least since 2013. What else are you doing in your life?
Well, you know, I co-founded a think tank on the future of journalism called Journalism That Matters. And I recently went off the board of my own organization because I think nonprofits need to have succession plans. But I have been very involved with that. The In-N-Out exhibit, In-N-Out being LGBTQ on Vashon Island, mm-hmm. was really interesting for me as starting out as a journalist and then becoming a filmmaker. And then going to museum exhibitry, it's a whole different kind of communication. How do you tell the story visually in really few words and make it more interactive? So that's been my thing. And after the Big Joy weekend, I hope to put my feet up and go through some of my boxes of archives that have been accumulating over the years because I've been too busy to pay attention to them.
You're not going to go to Disneyland?
No. Maybe I'm going to South Africa, actually, to an international radical fairy gathering. But
ooh, that sounds wonderful. So, Jason, mm-hmm. You are a performance artist based in Los Angeles. Besides Big Joy, what do you do? What are you doing?
Yes, well, aside from doing performance art, I co-own a documentation company called LA Art Documents. So my partner and I create video documentation of art and art exhibitions and artists. And I also work for the Torrance Art Museum. I'm their outreach specialist.
Oh, yeah. Torrance in Torrance, California.
That is correct, yeah.
So you guys basically live art.
Absolutely, yeah. Or, yeah, you know, do what we can to bring more of it in our lives. I mean, I went out to Los Angeles to be a filmmaker myself. And while I've made some experimental films, part of what James's path I connected with was he lived the poet's road and took that road. And for me, being a performance artist, that's not what I intended to do. I just sort of fell into it and took that road and to where it leads. And James has influenced my own writing. So,
and you've done other poets too.
I have, yes.
Brought to the stage.
There's a poet named Konstantin Pekavafi who lived in Alexandria, Egypt at the turn of last century. And I did a show based on his works. That's why I knew that I could do one. You know, taking poetry to stage is not your typical thing, but to craft a theatrical experience, it's very possible. So I worked with James, then I worked on a beat poet by the name of Harold Norse, and I was part of the 100th, the centennial celebration of Harold Norse at the Beat Museum, and Paul Manette, who was a famous author.
Wonderful writer who died of AIDS, yeah.
So you guys are bringing to life a lot of poets and artists who have been kind of unnoticed.
Yeah, most of James Broughton's work had kind of gone out of print, and his films really weren't being seen, which was another reason I wanted to make the documentary, because as Jason has proved, his work is more relevant today in some ways than ever.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah. Thank you both so very much. Folks, you've been listening to Real Talk. I'm Susan McCabe, your host, and I've been talking with Stephen Silla, who is the producer and co-director of the documentary film The Big Joy, which will be part of the Big Joy weekend here on Vashon Island starting this Saturday going through Sunday, January 12th. And Jason Jen, who will be part of this weekend celebration of The Big Joy. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Stephen. And thank you for listening to Real Talk. Stay tuned for The Captain's Chair with our very own Captain Joe Wubbold and his guest du jour. Thanks for listening.